Now, it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale it.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So, by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studio.
Freedom.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
How is it real?
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
All right. Welcome to Hour 2. It's time for Toker Talk Radio. We're just chilling here at Rolla J Studios. Beautiful Portland, Oregon, where the temperature keeps going up. This weekend, I swear, we got to 70. I don't know if it really hit 70, but it felt like 70. Had the top down in my wife's convertible and everything. Good stuff. You might notice we got some new headphones here at Rolla J Studios. We're all outfitted with these new Skull Candy headphones. Kind of nice. They sound really good. Good bass response. Nice to have them. And that's all thanks to you, the listeners, the VIPs, and, of course, the sponsors of 420 Radio. We just landed another Dilithium sponsor just recently. Got that in the mail the other day. And I have yet to get the business information. I just saw the purchase come through, but haven't gotten the email with all the logos and the ad and all that. So you'll be hearing a new ad from one of our new platinum sponsors coming up. And we are definitely needing that because I am pushing all of this equipment to the breaking point. As you know, the hard drive crashed. My 2 terabyte hard drive crashed. I need to get a RAID system, you know, like my tech guy Ralph says he's gonna hook me up with a 16 terabyte RAID 10 system. Ooh, that'll be nice. Also need to get a new network switch. I've got this dumb router, this thing Comcast that comes with the Comcast internet. Got to get me an intelligent switch. I'm told make the network process things a little faster here. Can reserve some bandwidth just for the show so we can keep you a nice steady stream. I also took down one of the stream rates today. I took down the medium stream rate, trying to give you a little bit better connection. I hope it's helping. Well, like I said, I'm just pushing everything to the breaking point. It's time to get another, $6,000 worth of equipment. And then there's the 420 Radio app. We're working on that. That's going to be about $4,000 to pull that off. So if you're wondering, it's like, gee, Russ, you're always begging for money. Well, I am. I'll admit it. I'm always begging for money. But all the money goes into 420 Radio. You know, I'm not living high on the hog. That's for damn sure. In fact, all these trips that I take, you know, when I'm flying out to Fort Worth next week and I'm staying at the normal director's house, right? I'm not staying in a hotel. I'm always flying coach. I'm always taking the multiple layover trips. Got that going on all the time. So, we keep things as cost-effective as we can here at 420 Radio. Absolutely. But it's time to make a step up to the next level. And got some investors who are interested. Talking to a couple of them who might be willing to fork out that $10,000 we need. But if you'd like to help, you can always become a VIP member of 420 Radio. Just visit 420radio.org/donate. Where is it? /VIP. Did I change that? Can never remember. I think it's /donate. Let's make sure if we're going to tell everybody that. Also, like I said, the 420 radio app, trying to get that out for 420. Want to have that available when we hit the cannabis cup. That's 420radio.org/VIP if you want to become a VIP member or make a one-time donation. So thank you so much for everybody out there. Even if you're one of the copper VIPs and you're donating 420 a month, right? I get emails from people sometimes. They're like, oh man, I wish I could help more. I'm working, or I'm poor. I'm on disability or whatever. Hey, the fact that you're listening is what I appreciate the most. That you're here listening every day and you're spreading the word, you're telling people about this network and about this show. That's the important thing. And that you're reaching out to others and you're helping change their mind. And maybe you take something that you heard me say and you use it in one of your arguments. That's fantastic. That's why I'm doing this. So we appreciate all that. Even if you're just donating at the copper level, it's very meaningful to me, man. I'll tell you. There's times when that 420 comes in just at the right time. I'm looking online to get postage for something, right? You're going to send out one of our notices or something, and I'm, $2 short in the PayPal account, and boom, that 420 shows up. Makes the day, man. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. Or I've been in a city somewhere at an event, and, in one of those situations where you can't haggle a ride and you need to catch a cab, and I'll tell you that the having that PayPal there has saved me a number of times, and it's helped me to be able to bring you more and more coverage of these events. More of them coming up. We'll tell you about them right after the break.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belleville Show.
Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Funky Rollerball.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Ring. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Ring.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Thank you. baby. Show you a gypsy good time. Follow me, baby. Show you a gypsy good time. Yes, I'm gonna deal out these cards, dear woman, and lay it all on the line. You've got a red queen in your love life, the black king right beside. Jack of diamonds can't help you, baby. He was born to ride, so follow me, baby. Show you a gypsy good time. Yes, I'm gonna deal out these cards, dear woman, and lay it all on the line. Well, they say this is a man's world. Keeps the cards stacked. Come on and follow me, baby. Deal your aces back to back. Follow me, baby.
Show you. Welcome back, everyone. Nick Gravenites. Excuse me. Michael Bloomfield with Gypsy Good Time. Chilling out here in Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios. Thanks for joining us. Earlier in the news, we talked about these senators, Rand Paul, Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand, who are filing a federal medical marijuana bill tomorrow. The CARERS Act is going to be streamed live through the Washington Post tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so early out here. And this is one that would allow doctors, patients, and businesses that have medical marijuana to participate in those medical marijuana laws without fear of federal prosecution. Also let the veterans at the VA facilities access medical marijuana. So it's a little disingenuous to call it a federal medical marijuana bill when it's really just allowing the states to pursue their medical marijuana laws without federal interference. So that's really what that's about there. This is similar to what happened with the House of Representatives passing that amendment in the omnibus spending package, the so-called Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment, or Rohrabacher-Farr, or whatever the new name is. That amendment forbids the Department of Justice from spending money interfering with the states that have already legalized marijuana for medical purposes. So the federal government here is walking up to not enforcing prohibition, but they're nowhere near legalizing marijuana. Nothing about this CARERS Act is going to take marijuana off Schedule 1, make it any easier for researchers to access the federal marijuana at the University of Mississippi, not going to stop the prosecution of people in non-medical states or people that are possessing marijuana for non-medical reasons or are acting outside the scope of a state marijuana law. And as is the case with the dispensary raids and every other action these federal prosecutors take, who gets to decide who's complying with state law? That should be up to state judges, you'd think, but no, the federal government wants to take that and decide on their own, well, you're not in compliance with state law, so we're going to come after you. So, I mean, this is a step in the right direction. I don't want to, you know, pour water on the parade or rain on anyone's parade here. But it's just a little baby step. It's nice to see that the Congress, that the Senate, is getting to the point where they can just not do something, right? All right, we promise we won't do something. We won't bust you. But these are the slow steps it's going to take. I mean, marijuana prohibition is like an aircraft carrier. It's like a cruise ship, man. It takes a long time to turn it around. It's got mass and inertia, okay? Just like any physics problem will tell you, you know, the laws of thermodynamics and all that. An object at rest tends to stay at rest. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. And prohibition's been in motion for almost 80 years now, over 80 years now. So I know a lot of times, especially folks that are new to the movement, can get a little frustrated that it's not happening fast enough. How could it not? Everybody knows the truth now. Which is not true either, but, you know, that's the way we feel sometimes. Feels like every other show that's on these days on the cable news channels has something to do with marijuana. Every other magazine out there has some sort of marijuana story. Everybody's trying to cash in on the interest in marijuana. And yet, there's still a lot of ignorance out there about marijuana. Just like that Washington study that we talked with Dr. Mitch about in the first hour, where people in a legal state, by and large, don't know what's legal and what's not legal. We are a very tiny minority, right? Not marijuana smokers. There's 20 million of us. I don't mean that. But of marijuana smokers, how many are actively following the politics and are a part of this as activists and reformers? You know, I often have this little flip saying on the difference between stoners and potheads. A stoner is someone who likes to get stoned. Can care less about the politics of it. They're there for the effect, for the fun. A pothead is a stoner. They like to get high, no doubt about it. But a pothead is someone who's in it for the politics, who's in it for the religion of it, who's in it for a bigger reason than just getting high. So a pothead could be a political activist, you know, shirt and tie, short hair type. A pothead could be a long-haired dreadlock Rastafarian, right? A pothead could be a medical marijuana advocate, right? But somebody who's in it who, yeah, likes to get high, but also has something bigger about it. If I had to use movie archetypes, Spicoli from Fast Times is a stoner. Slater from Dazed and Confused is a pothead. Yeah, Martha Washington, man, she'd have a bowl already. She's a hip lady, man. Right? That's a pothead. Now, I haven't said that as much lately because some people take offense when I bring up pothead or stoner. That's an interesting discussion all of its own. Kind of goes along with, you know, discussions of how people in ethnic communities will use ethnic slurs and how people, you know, women will use misogynist slurs against each other. But it's cool because we're all in the group, right? Maybe we've got a little bit of that. Maybe it's cool when I call us potheads, but it's not cool when the drug czar calls us potheads. I don't know. On the other end, though, you get some people that are really militant about this. I had somebody on one of the YouTube pages comment on a video who said, "Marijuana, marijuana, 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 it's cannabis!" All caps. It's cannabis! And you know my riff on that is that cannabis is broad. I no more smoke cannabis than I would snort coca or I would inject opium. You get my drift, right? Cannabis is the plant. Coca is the plant. Opium is the plant. Marijuana, cocaine, and heroin are the products of those plants that are used as substances for recreational purposes. That's where I have a different definition. So yeah, we can talk about ending cannabis prohibition because the cannabis plant itself is prohibited. But if we talk about ending marijuana prohibition, we're talking about changing a law. It's a subtle difference, I know, right? But in the laws actually refer to what is being banned as marijuana. And I know people get upset about this. They get all wrapped up in, you know, is marijuana a racist term? Should we not use it because it's racist? And I don't think marijuana is a racist term any more than sensimilia is a racist term. Sensimilia is a Mexican slang term. It means without seeds, right? It could refer to anything that's without seeds. Tangerines without seeds would be sensimilia, right? But no, sensimilia is a slang term that means the dried harvested tops of cannabis plants that are bred without seeds. Seedless marijuana. And it's not racist, it's just a Mexican term.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
See? Even Hal doesn't like calling it marijuana. Even the computers are against me on this one. Hey, it's 4:20 here in the in the Pacific time zone in the Rocky Mountains, wherever the hell we are. 4:20 in Portland, in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Seattle, and even Ontario, Oregon, Las Vegas, Nevada.
4:20 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest. Get your tickets now for the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, March 15th and 16th at the Hilton, Eugene, Oregon, powered by MarijuanaPolitics.com. Former presidential candidate and two-term New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson will deliver the keynote address. Harborside Health Center's Steve D'Angelo will present at the pre-conference VIP reception. You'll also hear from State Senator Floyd Prezansky, New Approach Oregon's Anthony Johnson, Oregon marijuana attorneys Paul Loney and Leland Berger, and Oregon Liquor Control Commission's Director of Marijuana Programs, Tom Burns. Get your tickets at early bird pricing by acting now. Learn more at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at ommbc.com. This conference will provide you with a head start for success in the expanding Oregon marijuana industry. Get your tickets today at ommbc.com.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Joker Tunes, the best in Pod Save 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Joker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Time for us to get into some Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes with the man about town, somebody who loves Portland, Oregon more than anybody else in the world. It's Bacon Dan on the line with us. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, man. It is true. Actually, and it's funny, not only do I love Portland so much, but my new title on Who's at the Ross is not only camera guy and booker, but now the king of Portland.
You're the king of Portland?
Apparently. I mean, if anybody's got to take that title, I guess.
Well, congratulations, Your Highness.
Thank you.
I think Your Highness works out quite well for you, too.
It does, especially that LB's edible that I had this morning.
Oh, whose edibles?
LB's edibles, the lemon hammered bar. My God, is it delicious.
Oh, yeah. We are spoiled here in Portland we're already kind of a foodie town as it is, and then you get our foodies making edibles. Oh, my God.
But just wait. Can you imagine what the line at Voodoo is going to be like in July?
Our law goes into effect July 1st, folks. That's when we officially become legal. And, of course, he's referring to downtown Portland's Voodoo Donuts, which now has locations in Eugene and Denver as well. The donut's going to be crazy. Off the hook, yo.
Yeah, it's so nice. And I also, shout out to Trey Shannon, owner of Voodoo Donuts and friend of the show, who is also a very big fan of cannabis.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, I should have thought of that when I had Sean and Andrea in from Texas, or when we had Sharon and Mark in from Georgia. I should have hooked them up with you so that we could have hooked up with the VIP treatment at the Voodoo Donut.
Exactly, man. Yeah, next time we'll have to try to remember that for next time.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to our tune for today on Roots Monday. And again, Roots, we are keeping the roots in the 20th century. That's our broad definition. It has to be in the 20th century. So who do you got for us today?
All right. So today we've got Sonic Youth's cover of the Carpenters' Superstar. Now, this is it's actually kind of funny because Sonic Youth were always very heavily influenced by the Carpenters, even though Richard Carpenter absolutely hates this version of the song. This came out in 94 on a tribute, a kind of punk alternative tribute album to the Carpenters. I personally love this song, and it's one of those ones where I would hear it everywhere, and I'm like, well, I know that song. I'm like, oh, God, it's Sonic Youth, because it fits so well in Portland, too, so I love this song. I know everybody else is going to love this song. So, yeah, sit back and toke up, people.
All right. It's sunny in Portland. Enjoy. This is Sonic Youth with Superstar.
Second show.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Funky Roller Ring.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night for some good old soul, funk, and disco at the Funky Roller Ring on 420 Radio. You dig?
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Need a ticket for an aeroplane. I don't need a boat to float me away. I don't need to grow wings and fly. I'm gonna walk to Jamaica.
That's our friend Chief Greenbug with Walk to Jamaica, where marijuana is now decriminalized. Not just possession, but you can grow plants too. Up to five plants decriminalized. Perfectly clear, I'm gonna walk. As if Jamaica wasn't a fun enough place to go to, right? Got some updates in the world of industrial hemp to bring to you real quickly. I know Wednesday is our hemp day, hump day, but we're going to get to them right now. Concord, New Hampshire, a New Hampshire State House committee approved a bill last week that would remove the ban on industrial hemp. The vote was 16 to nothing. And this opens the door to a full-scale commercial hemp market in the state by treating it as any other crop for farming. The bill reads in part that industrial hemp shall not be designated as a controlled substance. It would be treated similar as tomatoes. Passage of this law would ensure New Hampshire will join five other states, Colorado, Oregon, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Vermont, that have already passed similar measures. Farmers in southeast Colorado have already harvested in 2013. Farmers in Vermont began harvesting in 2014. Oregon hemp industry officially opened for business 1 week later this year, and the first license went to a nonprofit that's going to plant 25 acres. Experts believe the U.S. hemp market is around $500 million per year. Also in hemp news, in Tennessee, the Department of Agriculture is seeking industrial hemp farmers. They're now taking applications. The General Assembly passed legislation last year for hemp research. And if you're a farmer who wants to participate, you can contact Tennessee.gov, tn.gov/agriculture. And look for the links for the industrial hemp applications. In Missouri, two nonprofits have been licensed to produce hemp oil. Missouri will soon begin to sell hemp oil. The Department of Agriculture granted licenses to two nonprofits to produce cannabis plants for hemp extract, Bee Leaf Corporation and Noah's Ark Foundation. And now this is where it's getting confusing, folks. So you're saying hemp oil, well, hemp seed oil has been legal for years. No, they're talking about the CBD oil. And there's a push among some people to call this hemp oil to try to distinguish it from medical marijuana. In fact, I've heard people call it medical hemp. Now, the reason being is that in a lot of these laws, the CBD oil that they mandate has to be less than 0.3% THC. And that is the less than 0.3% THC that industrial hemp has to certify in America. It's under that test pledge. So the hemp seeds that you're buying, either in bird feed or just, you know, to eat it for nutritional sake, that hemp seed has to be less than 0.3% THC. So when they're making these CBD laws that say less than 0.3% THC, some advocates are saying, well, that's medical hemp. It's hemp oil. It's not marijuana. It's not that dirty, icky drug. It's not marijuana oil. It's not even CBD oil, because if we say CBD, we have to say cannabinoid. So they're calling it hemp oil. But, of course, this is for the kids, you know, with the Dravet syndrome and other forms of epilepsy and seizures. And the CBD oil has been effective for a lot of these people, but they're calling it hemp oil out there in Missouri. And here's why that becomes a problem, is in this next story from the East Bay Express. David Downs writing this one. FDA warns 7 CBD and hemp oil companies over medical claims. And this is that whole hemp oil hustlers, folks. This is where they claim they can grow hemp plants and extract oil out of hemp plants that they claim are going to have high CBD. Not Charlotte's Web plants, not medical marijuana plants that have been bred for high CBD, but just plain old hemp. And that taking the oil out of that is going to somehow produce this medicinal CBD oil. So the FDA on February 26 sent 7 letters to 7 CBD product makers telling them to stop making medical claims about CBD and their product's ability to treat disease. The FDA considers CBD an unapproved new drug that's being misbranded by the companies. Some of these companies can't even spell cannabidiol or inflammation right, the FDA notes, and all the ones notified appear to be violating the law by promising cures for cancer, autism, epilepsy, and other conditions. Now, of course, we do know that CBD has been very helpful for people, but as far as the FDA is concerned, it hasn't passed any of the double-blind placebo-controlled trials. And the FDA sent letters to CancerHerbTea.com, CBD Life Holdings, Hemp Oil Care, PureCBD.net, Twin Falls Biotech, Canna Companion, and Canna Pet. And the letters notify the companies of the claims they are making on their websites and why they cannot make them. We have determined that your products are drugs, as defined by Section 201G1B of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. And the products are intended for the use in the mitigation, treatment, or prevention of disease and violates said act. So, to me, I mean, this is expected, right? This is expected that you're going to have all sorts of hustlers who just see that everybody's hot on this CBD oil, and they want to take advantage. They want to take advantage of parents who are desperate for a cure, desperate for some hope for their kids, and they just want to make a buck on them. And this is just the lowest of the low, isn't it? You got some parent who's 5-year-old suffering from an intractable epilepsy, and you're going to promise them the miracle cure for that. And to me, also, it's the amateur hour. These guys, I mean, it's the fact that we are in this Wild West period of medical marijuana, and in marijuana legalization in general, we're in this Wild West period where regulations haven't been set, expectations haven't been set, the public, the consumers aren't well educated on the issue. There's varying conflicts at the local and county and state and the federal level on marijuana. And into that breach are going to run all scurry, I should say. Into that breach are going to scurry all the rats and the cockroaches and all these vampires, these vultures, who are going to prey on people with sick kids. Here's one of the websites. This is cancerherbtea.com, whose website, in all caps, so understand that I have to yell this, it's in all caps. "This is a must-have product to get rid of your cancer cells!" Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. "You have nothing to lose, only the cancer." That's right, nothing to lose, L-O-O-S-E. You got a company who's putting out text on their website reminiscent of a YouTube commenter, but they have the cure to cancer. You know, on some level, and I, God forbid me for saying this, forgive me for saying this, but at some level, if you're a parent that bought from that company, seeing 7 exclamation points and loose, I'm not going to say it. They also, some of the products that they're talking about are Sebaderm Hemp Salve, Dixie Botanicals Dew Drops Hemp Oil Supplement, Hemp Honey 21% Cannabidiol Oil, Hemp Honey CBD Vape Oil, and Hemp Pure Vape E Drops. Twin Falls Biotech couldn't even spell cannabidiol right. They're trying to sell CBDs, and they couldn't even spell cannabidiol. They added an extra H in Crohn's disease, saying that cannabidiol, because they spell it with an I, cannabidiol helps with cancer, multiple sclerosis, diabetes, arthritis, dystonia, Crohn's disease, because there's an extra H in there. Oh, this is so sad. So, folks, be very wary about these hemp oil claims. Don't believe these hustlers that tell you that, no, it's 100% legal. Hemp's not illegal, so we can make this stuff and send it to you. It's not true, folks. It's just not true. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up for the day. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes, but at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes, but look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But... I can smell pot from my backyard, and I can't tell my kids.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420.
The reaper, 5 feet long, a little bit hot, but not too strong. You'll be high the whole night long if you're a viper. I'm the king of everything. Got to be high before I can scream. Light that thing, let it be. If you're a viper, when your throat gets dry, you know you're high. Everything is dandy. Chug on down to the candy store. Bust your mouth off peppermint candy.
The Jim Queskin Jug Band with If You're a Viper, the Jug Band version. Welcome back. It's Toker Talk Radio. We're just hanging out here, having a good time. Looking forward to the rest of the week. Coming up tomorrow, I've got a board meeting with Portland Normal. Got different reports. Sounds like one of the board members might be here, as a matter of fact. Sounds like Roscoe has made his presence known. He should be making his way on down here. But got a board meeting for Portland Normal tomorrow. Wednesday, there is a marijuana, it's the Measure 91 Implementation Committee meeting in Salem. And that means that Wednesday we will have no show, no live show, because I will be on the road. Also on Wednesday, and I might make it out for this as well, the Portland City Council is having a meeting where they're discussing a ordinance to ban the box. Have you heard of ban the box? Yeah, it's tough enough getting a plastic bag here in Portland. Now you want to ban boxes? No, it's not that kind of box. It's the box on an application form that asks whether or not you've been convicted of a crime. And this has been a... this has been going on. New York City, I know, has tried to do this as well. I think they've done it. But the Ban the Box campaign, just to make it easier for people who are trying to rebuild their lives, who might have gotten a drug conviction or a criminal record somehow, to be able to get employment. What a fantastic idea. All right, let me get to this story. You know, last year we told the story of the Colorado Symphony and how they had the classically cannabis series. I forget what they called it, but it was basically marijuana-infused orchestra, right? You could go to the symphony, and they would have a private space where you could get high, and then you could listen to the orchestra. Now, I've been in orchestras. I was in orchestras throughout high school and college and in my time in the Army band. And I think that'd be a wonderful experience. I think that'd be great. Well, now there's kind of a follow-up on this, because the Colorado Springs Art Center is doing the parody of the film Reefer Madness. You may have seen this play. They made a movie out of it with, what's her name, Kristen Bell, I think, is in it, and Alan Cumming, and who else? There's a few others in it, but Reefer Madness, the movie musical. So they're going to do that. They're going to put that on. And to get the sponsorship they needed, they went straight to a medical marijuana dispensary, Strawberry Fields, gave the arts group $2,000 in exchange for having its name and logo printed on the show's promotional material. A legal marijuana dispensary sponsoring an arts group putting on Reefer Madness, the parody. And there are many arts groups now that are turning to the state marijuana industry in Colorado as potential funders for the arts. And for some reason, this is pissing some people off. You know, it's not like the arts are rolling in dough, right? But this is pissing some people off. According to, this is Colorado Public Radio, when Denver arts patron and mother of two, Kirsten Bernard, heard about the symphony's pop concerts, she immediately sent the organization an angry email. Quote, "It's normalizing marijuana to a whole new audience, especially of young people," Barnard says. "The arts are just such a beautiful and amazing sort of natural high, so they really don't need to do that," end quote. All right, so first I got to take issue with the whole natural high. I get that sometimes from anti-drug people. I enjoy life. I'm high on life. I like the, Rob Cantrell's line, but I built up a tolerance. No, not Rob Cantrell. It was Arch Barker. Yeah, I used to be high on life, and then I built up a tolerance. The arts are amazing and beautiful, and they're amazing and beautiful sober, and they're amazing and beautiful high in a different way. One is not better or worse than the other. But this other line of hers, it's normalizing marijuana to a whole new audience, especially of young people. Are you taking your young people to see the parody of Reefer Madness? And just how many young people are really going to the orchestra these days? Gothic Prophet mentions in the chat room that plenty of artists use drugs. I go with Bill Hicks' line about take all the albums out of your album collection that were made by anybody who ever used drugs. You wouldn't have a lot of really good albums left, that's for sure. And it's not just the arts that are getting propped up by the Green Rush. It's the media as well. The Oregonian is our local newspaper. It's got the largest circulation in the Pacific Northwest, bigger than the Seattle papers. Recently, they downsized. Used to have that full-on newspaper format, you know, the big size, sit on the park bench newspaper format, double wide, whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called. They've now shrunk it down to more of that Chicago Sun-Times format. You know, the more tabloid size, magazine size. I don't know what to call it. But the smaller size newsprint. Because the advertisers in the newsprint world are disappearing. They're all going online. They're getting on radio and so forth. So the newspaper's gotten smaller and smaller. And now it's the point where, like, there are like five sections, like A, B, C, D sections and such. Each section is its own little stapled section of like six pages at best. Now, I only know this. I don't get the print newspaper. Me and the Oregonian have gone rounds on that. But I don't get the print newspaper, but I'd taken the car in for an oil change. When you go to this particular oil change place in Oregon, they give you a copy of the paper. And it was Sunday, so I got the Sunday paper, which, and that's the other thing that was stunning to me, is how small the Sunday paper was. Not a whole lot in it. But in this Sunday paper in the Oregonian, the front page was Noel Crombie's investigation into the marijuana edibles in Oregon and how 14 out of 15 things they analyzed were nowhere near what the potency said on the label. That was front page. And then within the paper, the editorial, the op-ed of the paper was the Oregonian's editorial board saying that the counties asking for local taxes and the cities asking for local taxes ought to back off and just let the $35 an ounce state tax go into effect and see how it works. And then if they're not getting enough money, then if there's problems, yeah, then we'll talk about local taxes. And then on top of that, there was another op-ed in the paper. This was the nationally syndicated one that ran in the Washington Post, I believe, where the woman was talking about drug testing and how it never, ever did what it was supposed to do. If you really want to catch drug users, it wasn't going to do that. The really heavy-duty drug users learn how to beat drug tests, and that when you do catch a drug user, who you're most likely to catch is someone who smokes pot. And all you're doing is losing good employees. You're not really doing anything to help the workplace. So within the local newspaper, the front page and two op-eds were all about marijuana and the marijuana industry. And you see this now happening where the Denver Post in Denver is surviving through the cannabis. Their all marijuana coverage page and all the advertising revenue they generate with that. I just read a story from the East Bay Express, which has its Legalization Nation blog in Oakland. You got something similar going up in Washington State with the local weeklies and the daily papers up there, dedicating significant coverage space to the marijuana issue. Then there's magazines. I've got that Legalization Nation of Newsweek that Newsweek put out just recently. It's almost as if newspapers and magazines have recognized that Two things that will move print media are boobs and buds. If it's not the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, it's a magazine with a picture of weed on it. Oh, I should also, let's not forget Jesus. You put Jesus on a Newsweek, that'll move some copies too. But it's just this amazing time that we live in now, where so much of the media and the arts are starting to benefit from marijuana legalization and from this new industry that we're creating from the ground up. I also think it's instructive to see the manner in which this industry is building as a small statewide industry, state by state, each state setting up their own standards and allowing there to be competition between the states on matters of tax policy and the fees that are charged and what the particular licensing requirements are and so forth. The federal prohibition of marijuana may actually be working in our favor by preventing large multinational corporations, your Altrias, your R.J. Reynolds, whoever else you are afraid of, Budweiser, Walmart, whatever, Monsanto, let's bring out the big boogeyman. The federal prohibition of marijuana may actually be insulating us from what could be the worst results of massive over-commercialization of marijuana, of massive-scale production of marijuana. If it were federally legal, the tobacco companies could jump right in. Monsanto could jump right in. None of those big multinational conglomerates wants to jump in and leave themselves vulnerable to a new administration that decides it wants to start suing, and let's make an example of one of the big boys. So, marijuana legalization has had to proceed on a state-by-state level. Dixie Elixirs has had to build from scratch in Colorado. Meanwhile, somebody else in Washington, you know, Nana's, for example, is building their soda brand. Oregon will have its own soda brands. Each country and each state and each county and each region in these legal states will start to develop their own signature strains and signature products. Southern Oregon will be known for a particular sativa, and Washington will be known for a particular edible, and so forth. It'll be like Bordeaux, France, or Champagne, France, or any of these areas of the country that are, or the world that are specifically associated with a certain type of consumable. So there's a part of me that really kind of likes the way legalization is unfolding, state by state, at a smaller level. Now, I think when California passes in 2016, that's when the acceleration really kicks in. I think we get California passed, then that time between 2016 and 2020 becomes a mad rush as all the rest of the states realize that marijuana legalization is inevitable, and the last people on the bus are the ones who are going to get the least benefit from legalization. Those first few adopters of marijuana legalization get to benefit from the tourists, get to benefit from the scarcity. But if you're the last state to legalize, Idaho, I'm looking at you. If you're the last state to legalize, then there's nothing special about what you've done. Your industry is behind everyone else's. Wow, folks, time flies when you legalize. Welcome to the week. We got a Monday under our belt, 4 more days to go. Make sure to stay in touch with my Twitter feed, @RadicalRuss. I'll be giving you updates from all the meetings and events I'll be doing over the next couple of weeks. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you manage, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you manage, you grow it.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana.